We're in a two-week series. The series is entitled Left Behind. Left Behind is a series of 12 books, I actually found out. There are 12. This is the first one. We are waiting for the last one to come out. What these books are explaining is what will happen in the future. In this book, Left Behind, it talks about an event that we are looking forward to. It's an event called the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is where we who know the Lord, who have trusted Him as our Savior, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The book is called Left Behind because there will be many left behind who did not make that choice, did not make that decision to trust Christ. Then we enter into a period called the tribulation, 3.5 years. It'll get bad. But it's nothing compared to the second half of that seven-year period called the Great Tribulation. And as you read through that series, you'll find out, and you can open your Bible and find the references that they draw those events that take place during that seven-year period of time, the Great Tribulation. It's culminated by an event called the Second Coming of the Lord. The Lord is going to come back, and this time we'll not meet Him in the air. He will come back and stand on the earth. That is called the second coming of the Lord. And that is an event at the end of the tribulation. Then it ushers in a period of time for 1,000 years called the millennium. The Bible speaks of that, 1,000 years. And then we have at the end of that time the new heavens and the new earth. It's all in the series called Left Behind. So what I wanted to do this morning is kind of pick up on one of those themes that we see running through this period of time. If you read your newspapers, and most do, or get your news from the internet, as I do, you'll find events that just keep happening and happening. And you have to wonder, don't you? Where's history headed? Where is all of this going? What's going to take place in the future? And we know certain events, but how can we be sure of what these events are? It's interesting. There are beliefs about future events. There's a couple different theories of thought. The Greeks thought that all events happened in just a cycle and just kept cycling and cycling, and it proves the fact that we don't learn from the mistakes of history if you believe that. But I think there's some truth in that, that the same things we keep repeating, the same mistakes we keep making. That's what the Greeks believed. The atheist believes that there is no meaning. There is absolutely no meaning. The history just goes on and it goes on and it goes on, and there's no meaning to anything. That's not a very comforting way to live, but there are those that embrace that. Then there are evolutionists that believe that as events keep going, things will get better. Well, I don't know. If you've lived any amount of time in your life, I don't think you're convinced that things are going to get better as more time keeps passing. Doesn't seem to be the case. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to continue in this series. It's entitled Left Behind 3. And what we're going to talk about today is where is history headed? Where is history headed? And we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 2. We were in Daniel last week, and we were in Daniel chapter 5. But this week we're going to be in Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to look at a story. It may be familiar to you, it may not. What happened in the life of Daniel? That he's your average 16, 17, 18-year-old. He's living his life, he's doing the school thing. And all of a sudden, an army comes in and attacks Jerusalem, where he lives, wipes the whole place out, then takes prisoners, and they did this in that time, takes prisoners 1,100 miles away. And they looked at all these prisoners, and they evaluated them. And they took the best of the youth. And they put them into a training program in that country. It was the country of Babylon. The city of Babylon. And so Daniel was in this training program, and he was committed to this. If you can imagine this as a 16, 17-year-old doing this, And really what we know is he spent the rest of his life there. Well, that's Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 2, there's a king. What's his name? Nebuchadnezzar. There's a king, and you know what? He's kind of had it with all the wise guys, the astrologers, the magicians in his empire. They're supposed to know it all. They're supposed to know where is history headed. And so he has a dream, and God actually gives him this dream. And in this dream, we're going to talk about that today. But here's what he does. He comes in the next morning, goes to all the wise people in his cabinet, in his empire. And he draws most of them together and says, here's what I want you to do. I've had a dream. You guys need to tell me what the dream is. Then you need to tell me what the interpretation of the dream is. So we got two things here. They got to tell him what the dream is. Many other times he would tell them what the dream was. This time he says, no, if you guys are really sharp and really know what's going on, you tell me what the dream is and you tell me the interpretation. And if you don't, it's curtains for all of you. Well, that's an interesting way to start Monday morning. You think you have it bad? What if you were those guys? So they spent some time trying to figure out what was going on, and obviously, folks, they can't. And so they come into the king and said, this is not fair, king. You're going to have our heads. Nobody can do this. But one person remembered a guy named Daniel. And he said to himself, Daniel knows. The God that Daniel serves is a living and true God. He can do this. So he goes to Daniel. Daniel becomes aware of this and he says, give me a little bit of time. So Daniel takes a little bit of time and spends some time with God. Good idea, right? Because he was part of that command. It was going to affect him too. And he spends time with God. And God reveals to him what the dream is and what the interpretation is. Now what we're going to do is look at that, but there's more here, folks. When we talk about the question of where is history headed, I want to say up front, there is purpose, there is direction for history. It's not mindless, senseless events. There is a God who is ordering the events of history, and we're going to see that. This is a fascinating dream, and what I'd like you to do is open with me to Daniel chapter 2 and start with me in verse 27, and I'm going to read some verses to kind of continue to set this up. But if you don't have an outline, you know what? You need an outline this morning because you'll want to read this and come back to it. On the back, there are some outlines. If you don't have one, maybe one person could go get those and do that, because this is where we're looking at things that were talked about 500 years B.C. 500 years B.C. And these events, many of which we'll talk about, have already taken place, but they took place thousands of years later. One of the main reasons you can rely on God's word is because of what? Fulfilled prophecy. What this book contains is what is going on in the world today. This book is important. All right. Chapter 2, verse 27 says this. Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has talked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen. Very important phrase. In days to come, your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. This is Daniel now coming in for the first time in front of the king and saying these words to the king, verses 27 through 28. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. All right, so on your outline then, a couple of statements. What's going to happen? I want to set this up so you can see this. Daniel is going to describe an image. You're going to see that in just a moment. And it refers to world empires. Daniel's going to see an image. It's going to refer to world empires. Again, get the time frame. It's about 500 BC when this is taking place. All right, verses 31 now through 35. Stay with me. Open your Bible if you don't have it open. Follow me in this. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. By the way, while you were watching, a rock was cut out not by human hands. It struck the statue on the feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. All right, so what he does in these four verses is he just describes this. First of all, this image is not an idol. Some people take it for that. It's not an idol. And it's interesting, this image, the value decreases from the top to the bottom. In other words, a head of gold, silver, and on down to the feet of clay. Now, it is interesting, he describes that, and then there's a stone that comes and shatters the base of the statue, and then he sees this stone grow in this vision that he has to worldwide proportions. In other words, it becomes, it just becomes of mountains, and it just says became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. That would have been a wild vision, wouldn't it, to see this? Okay, so first of all, we get it set up. Now he's going to interpret what this is talking about. Drop down with me at verse 36. Many times in the Bible, when you talk about these things, if you keep reading, it explains what's going on. Sometimes it doesn't, but in this case, it does. Okay, so Daniel gets that out, and now everybody's breathing a sigh of relief because Nebuchadnezzar said, pretty good. You're right. That's what I saw. You guys can all keep your jobs. I'm sure Daniel was happy about that. Verse 36, this was a dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Verse 37, you, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. So the first thing he says is that that head of gold on that image is you, O king. It is your empire. It is the Babylonian empire. Now, if you study anything about this empire, it had incredible wealth and gold. It was everywhere. And that's what the head represented. So as Daniel is it had incredible wealth and gold. It was everywhere, and that's what the head represented. So as Daniel is talking, he's saying, let me start with the head, and now on your outline, the head then is the Babylonian Empire. And if you study history, it was there. It existed. It has been in place. Now, it's interesting, when Daniel was prophesying this, I mean, it was there at that day, about 500 B.C. But it continues. That's verses 37 and 38. Then it goes to verse 39. After you, another kingdom will rise inferior to yours. Now, he's moving down from the head of gold to the next part of the statue. The next part of the statue represents the chest and the arms of silver. And we saw last week in Daniel 5, the Babylonian Empire fell last week, and the next world empire came into play, so that on your outline now, the chest then is the Medo-Persian Empire. And if you study history, this empire came into predominance. Now, it was not as strong, and it's interesting, two arms, one representing the Medes, one representing the Persians. And again, you've got to study history. Sometimes I know, especially in junior high and high school, I remember some of those days, boy, they were hard in some of these history lessons. But this is important because this, with the scripture, is actually setting this out before it ever happens. So hang in there when you study that stuff, guys, especially those in school. Two kings, the Medes and the Persians. This kingdom was not as strong as the first kingdom of gold to Nebuchadnezzar. Then it keeps going. Look with me at verse 39, halfway through. It says, next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Okay, so now we have another metal. We've moved down from the arms to the bronze. And it's going to rule over the whole earth, its belly and thighs of bronze. And what empire is this? Without us putting it up there, what world empire does this represent? Very good. Look at the front row. They got it. All right. The abdomen and thighs, then, are the Greek empire. And we see that in verse 39. Now, if you've traveled in Europe, and I've traveled a fair amount in Europe, it's amazing to see how vast this empire was. And to follow Alexander the Great as he just conquered one place after another. He didn't conquer it all, but it was massive and expansive. It was the Greek Empire. 500 years B.C., this information is being given out. It's being given to the king, and he probably doesn't have a clue. All he says is, yeah, I'm the head. I'm gold. I'm good. But here it goes. It keeps going. Look with me now at verse 40. Interesting word. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all other. Iron, strong, destructive, powerful is the picture of this. Legs. In the statue, this represents the legs. They are legs of iron. Who is this? Very good. On your outline then, the legs are the Roman Empire. And the Romans came through, and again, if you've studied history or been there, they just crushed everybody. An apt description of iron. Just boom, anything in its way was wiped out and destroyed. The legs are Rome. All right, now, here's where it gets interesting in this section of God's Word. So far, it's following history, but this was given before that history ever developed. You need to know that. This was given 500 years B.C. But now you end up with verses 41 to 44, and the plot thickens here. Let me read that. Verses 41 through 44. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. We're talking about another kingdom here. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. Imagine Daniel giving this description. How much of this do you think Daniel understood? As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, I'm on verse 42, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, verse 44. All right, let me stop there. So far we've been tracking history. Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greeks, Romans. Now you run into some trouble. Because when did the Roman Empire have toes of iron? It didn't. And it didn't have a whole variety of kings. So you've got a problem here in this part of the interpretation. And most, as I believe that what we've been talking up to verse 40 has been fulfilled. Now, verse 41 and on is yet to be fulfilled. So I'm looking at 41 through 44 as future events. It's not happened yet. The others have happened. This one will happen. Now, without a lot of detail here, on your outline, the feet and toes are the revived Roman Empire. We have not seen this yet. Let me ask you this. Are we getting close? I believe, as many do, that we are getting closer to seeing this. I mean, we're in a place in history now where this can happen. 10 nations in this particular empire. And it'll have strong and weak. Some will be strong, some of these kings strong, some of them weak. It gives us some of those details. They're going to have internal problems. It gives us that detail. And it's going to exist prior to the return of Jesus Christ. Now, write down a reference here. Daniel 7:24, and I decided not to put this in PowerPoint. Just flip over to Daniel 7:24, and I believe we pick up in Daniel 7:24 with a continuing description of this information. The 10 horns, it's described here as 10 horns, are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. All right, there are a couple, I just wanted to show you one reference, but there are a number of references in the scripture that refer to this time. Now, here's what you need to do. If you want to know more about this, go on our website, lakehillschurch.com. Go, as you navigate in, Scott Benjamin is going to make some dramatic changes to our website here in the future. But for now, as you go in, you'll see a section called Messages. Click on it, go to Past Messages, and you'll see a couple of my series. The bottom one is called Left Behind 1. I've done Left Behind 1, Left Behind 2, and Left Behind, this is Left Behind 3. Go to Left Behind 1 and look at who is the Antichrist. And there's an outline with that that gives more information on this, and I've covered this in other messages. So that you're not, you can go there and you can download the information and it gives you some more about this. But what many feel, as I do, is that this is probably a reference to the European common market. These countries now coming together, they're not together yet, but they're getting closer. They're getting closer. It's interesting, as I've traveled and done quite a bit of traveling, the unity provided by the euro dollar is amazing. Because I traveled through Germany, Russia doesn't have it, but Germany and where else have I been? A couple of other countries. Now you don't have to change money all the time. And when I traveled in Europe back in 1981, I went through 13 countries. Every border I had to change money. If I did that same trip today, many of those countries have adopted the euro dollar. It makes things much easier. That is one clue, I think, one indication of what this is pointing to. Am I completely sure? No, I'm not. But I believe we are very close to seeing the fulfillment of these 10 nations coming together. When they do that, it is very close to the time of Christ's return. We know that from other parts of the Scripture, other parts of the Bible. It's interesting here. Look back with me at verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. What's going to happen is those kingdoms will be destroyed. And most feel, I feel, at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, if the Lord doesn't come, this whole place is going to be wiped out anyway. He comes, destroys those, and sets up what is called the millennium, the 1,000 years reign here on the earth. That is what I believe this is talking about. That, I believe, is what's going on. Okay. Verse 45. So Daniel gives this interpretation, and Daniel's probably blown away too. Come on, do you think he understood all this? This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain. I'm at verse 45. But not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. And here's the key. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. This dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Amen. And Daniel sat down. And the king's probably kind of blown away at this point by hearing all of this. But I'm so glad that he did this, because as you and I now look back, we can look at this image, and this is how God chose to relay this. Maybe if I were God, I wouldn't quite do it this way, but this is how God did it. And he shows us by a number of world empires what's going to happen. And so we've seen four of those world empires come and go. Now we're in a period of time, and we've been in this period of time for the last 2,000 years. It's called the church age, where God is building his church for the last 2,000 years, and we are waiting. And at the end of this period of time, one of the key events is this group of nations will come together. The European Common Market, probably. But 10 nations will come together and be a part of this. Okay, your last point on your outline, the rock is the kingdom of God. Is it on there? I think it's on there, isn't it? There we go. The rock is the kingdom of God. Verse 45. Now, if you look down through your outline, folks, there is an outline of history that was given 5,000 years B.C. And we are in process. Where is history headed? What's taking place? You can look at this and see that what God chose to give to the king through Daniel is telling us where history is headed and where we are headed. Now, at the bottom, a couple of statements I'd like to make. Number one, history is not an endless cycle. It is not. It may seem that way, and sometimes maybe we should learn more from history, shouldn't we? But it's not an endless cycle of events. It is not meaningless. It isn't. It is not meaningless. Here's what it is. It's God's story. And God, in His wisdom and in His plan, said, this is how I'm going to order the events of human history. And He has done this. And now we are very close to the next step, the next stage. Finally, He knows the future. Where history is headed is in God's hands. He knows the future. He is directing, He is guiding, and from His Word we can see that. Look what happened to Daniel. Daniel's sitting down and the king says, stand up, Daniel. Look at verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all the wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed his friends, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. God bless Daniel. But it's amazing. Have you come to the point in your life where you recognize what Nebuchadnezzar did? Nebuchadnezzar said, you are the God of God and the King of kings. Your God is the only God. It's the same God we are studying, we're trying to learn about, we're trying to serve, we're trying to follow. It's this God. Because life has meaning, life has significance. God is revealed to us. Fulfilled prophecy is one of the keys to knowing that this book is true. And it has been fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled in the future. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this story. Thank you for the principles we can gather. Thank you for these world empires that have come and gone. Lord, thank you for the grace you are now extending. You've been extending it for 2,000 years. Thank you for the grace that you extend to us today. I pray if there's one here today that just doesn't know you, that's not sure about their future, they can recognize that in you is forgiveness, direction, and a future, and a hope. In Jesus' name, thank you. We can give to you, and we do that gratefully. Amen.